Hey guys, welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Jack McCarthy.
Howdy, folks.
So on tonight's show, we've got a lot of news to cover, but we're also going to talk about The Bad Batch, what we think of the most recent episode for us, which I forget. Is it three or four?
I think it's four.
Yeah, it might be four.
Well, it was good. It was a good episode. You had to like this one.
Well, we'll get into it.
In other words, no, you didn't like it. Okay.
So what have you been up to lately? I know you sent me an email. You're working on a new Kylo Ren's TIE Fighter. Is that what you're working on?
Yeah, it's all done now. I've been working on it for about a month. And it is Kylo Ren's TIE Silencer. And it's retro modeled back to the TIE Avenger, which in the LucasArts TIE Fighter game, that was the next step from Darth Vader's fighter in A New Hope. So it's the next stage of that, which eventually became the TIE Silencer. So I did all sorts of stuff. One thing about the TIE Silencer, it was very stretched out. It was much longer than it had to be. So during my modifications, I would say I removed probably about an inch and a half from the length overall between redesigning the guns, cutting down the wings of the front and the back, and reworking some of the panels that, it's a little bit shorter. I also built up the height on the wings a little bit with styrene. So it still looks very much like a TIE Silencer, but it looks a little bit beefier because I put a whole bunch of extra detail on it. I modified the wings so it just doesn't look as stretched out anymore. And I used a whole bunch of little greebles from other Star Wars kits. So all the detail I added has that little Star Wars edge to it. So I think it turned out pretty good.
Yeah, I was confused because I didn't read all that stuff because there was too much for it for me to read. You know?
Well, it's a build diary, so yeah. I start reading these online because it's like, well, let me try something. What can I do with these models? So a lot of people have been doing that where, they show step by step the progress of the model. But I know you're the type, you're going to go straight to the bottom and look at the finished pics.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I did.
Yeah, exactly.
But that looks pretty cool.
Yeah, but I'll leave a link. People liked it where, like, when I did the Millennium Falcon, like how I worked the lighting.
Yeah, no, I like that. Is it on Instagram? Is that where you have it?
It's on Imgur.
Imgur, okay.
Imgur.
And I'll leave a link, for people to check it out if they want to check it out.
Yeah, and I put in the links at the bottom to the other builds. This is my fourth build that I've done this way. And like I said, if you're looking to get into modeling and you want to try something different, those build diaries are great because you get a lot of different ideas on how you want to work on projects. So like I said, I finished off the TIE Avenger. I'm trying to decide what my next project is. But now that we're all getting vaccinated, it's time to go back out. I don't need to stay home and find something to do. So I don't know. I think my model work will start to wane off again now that,
that's a good
thing. Can leave the house and be sociable.
Yeah. No, I've been going to the gym and no one's wearing masks at the gym now. When I go to Publix and stuff like that, it seems like most people aren't wearing masks. So yeah, things are getting back to normal.
Yeah. Well, Murphy's supposed to rescind mask restrictions tomorrow, actually.
Oh, yeah.
However, at the store, we still have to wear our masks to give a sort of a comfort factor to our customers. So we have to stick with it there, but everywhere else it seems to be dropping already. So Murphy giving the word doesn't seem to be anything but making it official because people are already starting to go around without the masks here in Jersey.
Oh, well, it's good. So did you watch Superman and Lois this week?
No, I haven't gotten to it.
All right,
I have it on my DVR. I did inadvertently see some spoilers about the other Lex Luthor.
Oh man, that was cool.
but I haven't seen.
So you know who yet. He is. Because that's
I know who he's supposed to be now, but like I said, I would rather have not known, but I kind of tripped over that story somewhere.
Yeah, no, I was watching it and I was like, no way, you know, because like I think the show is pretty good. You know, it's funny. I was like, as I was watching it, and there's just a scene of like Clark and Lois driving in their truck and all that stuff. And I'm like, I like this. But, you know, if that wasn't Superman and say it was The Flash, I wouldn't be watching this, you know. Or even like when I watched The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, it's like, see, now if this was Steve Rogers, you know, I'd be a little more interested in it. But yeah, I don't care about Sam
Wilson.
He's
a good Superman. And he's a good Clark.
No, he is. Yeah, he's a little soft on the kids. I mean, those kids are annoying. But now I'm going to say it. You know, if you guys haven't seen it, I mean, if you haven't seen the show, you should start watching it. Yeah, no, this guy was masquerading as Lex Luthor from another universe. It's still confusing. But he was revealed to be, was it John Henry? I forget his last name. But he's Steel, who was one of the four Supermen with the Reign of Superman storyline. After Superman died, four Supermen came and we were all questioning which one is the real Superman. And Shaq had done a movie where he was Steel.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember that. But this guy is so cool. I liked him from the very beginning. I never even thought that he could be Steel, but it makes so much sense now when you saw him in that outfit that he was in. You know,
I haven't seen
metal.
The outfit yet, but
well, no, you saw it in the beginning, like the first episode.
Oh, you mean that armor? Well, that's armor's gone, didn't that self-destruct or something?
Something like that, you know. But still, that was his Steel outfit, basically.
Oh, because now you see, I thought that was just his version of the Luthor power armor, which we haven't really seen on television in a while. You know, in the comics he's got this green and purple battle suit. Well, so that's what I thought it was. I didn't realize that.
No,
was
I did
just
too,
makeup for Steel.
That's basically was his outfit. That's why the writing is pretty cool that they fooled us all this time. I never thought that maybe that's Steel. You do see his hammer, which is pretty cool. But no, I was just blown away. It was like a Darth Vader type of moment. You know?
Oh, wow. It was that big?
I wasn't expecting it. I was like, because I thought it was like, oh, he's Lex Luthor from another universe and all that. But then to see that he was Steel and that he's a cool character, because Steel, he's not the best superhero in the world. And Shaq didn't do him many favors.
No.
But this guy is pretty damn cool, and I'm excited to see where the storyline's going to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good show. I mean, the one playing Lois, I think she's the weakest part of the show, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah, I like it. It's a nice series to watch. I barely watch any series, but again, I'm a huge Superman fan.
Exactly.
The right way. So yeah, I think it's a good series. It's one of the best ones that I've seen in a long time. Like, again, I couldn't get through Smallville. I think I kind of gave up after three seasons. I came back for Supergirl because she was kind of cute.
Oh my god, what was her name?
I don't know, but she's much better than the Supergirl that they have now.
No, I like Melissa Benoist, but
whatever.
That one, I forget her name. Oh my gosh! But
I don't worry about it.
She, Supergirl from Smallville, she was pretty hot.
She was, and
she really was. I mean, that's the only way to put it.
No, they had some. You know, the guy who played Superman or Clark, he was. You know, he did a good job.
No, Tom Welling, he did look the part, but the problem was he just. He wanted to be Clark Kent. He just did not want to be Superman. And, you know, when it's revealed it's going to be the end. He's, you know, he's finally going to take on, be Superman. And we still really didn't get to see much of him in the suit at all. You know, it's too bad because he looked the part of Superman. He did. Just like Henry Cavill looks the part of Superman. Tom Welling did, but he just didn't want to wear the suit.
So he didn't. It was below him for some reason.
Yeah, you know.
That's why I think he never got any work after that, because they're like, who the hell are you? You know, it's like, I mean, can you actually, if you're an actor, can you say, no, I'm not putting on the suit? It's like, well, you were hired to play Superman. He probably says, no, he's hired to play Clark Kent.
I think it got to a point where he eventually became the producer or something. So maybe. As he got a little bit more authority on the set, he was able to take a stronger stance against it. And, you know, I think there were stories out how he's kind of difficult to work with. And,
he looks like he's difficult to work with.
You know, that turns a lot of people off. So that may have dried up his opportunities.
Man, if I was cast as Superman in Smallville, I'd be like, do I get to wear a suit?
Where's my cape? I'll wear the cape. Where's
like,
the cape?
What does it look like? It's like, I'll just wear the cape. I don't care.
Yeah. A big towel. I'll just tie it in the front and run around.
I was also watching Disney Plus, so I watched Cars, and instead of watching Cars 2, I went right to Cars 3. And I guess it's better to.
Cars 3 was that bad. I mean,
it's pretty bad.
No, I don't. I. It didn't bother me as much. I really disliked 2. But Cars 3, I thought that was okay.
I mean, they both look amazing looking. I mean, I think they did a good job at the animation. But Cars 3, the problem with that, I love the racing in it. I think it's like really cool because there's a lot of races in it. They're not long or anything like that, but there's much more in it than there was in the original Cars.
I tell you, I wish that during the 3D phase, I would have loved to seen Cars and remember the movie Turbo about the snail, the racing snail?
Oh, that movie sucked.
But the race scenes were phenomenal. And I wish I could have seen those in 3D because, I mean, the cars looked so great and the motion looked fantastic. The track, the stands, all that looked so great. I would have loved to seen those in 3D.
Well, I mean,
and the reason Turbo, I mentioned Turbo is because like Cars, the racing scenes were great, but because he was a snail, like you'd see him zooming up and he'd go under the car and he'd go around the cars and the animation, I just thought was incredible. The story was cute, a kid story, but the animation in that I thought was terrific. And of course, Pixar does phenomenal work.
That wasn't Pixar. That was another company.
I'm saying Cars 3 was.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Turbo.
No, Turbo, I think, was a Dreamscape, I think. But I mean, both of those, the animation on the racing was so good. Like I said, I just wish I could have seen it in 3D because that would have been just incredible.
Yeah. And I watched Tangled too. And I really like that movie.
I like Tangled. Tangled is good.
That movie was such a disaster when it first came out too, because I think it was delayed several years because they were going through so many problems, because originally it was supposed to be hand-drawn animation and they went through different directors and all these writers. And that movie, I looked it up. It cost over $200 million to make because it was done and redone so many times. And that they went through so many different people.
Really? I don't remember there being such.
No, the budget escalated. It was crazy. It made a lot of money, I think, worldwide. It probably cleared over $200 million. I forget what it was, but it was a good movie. You would think like
it was very good. You know, also as an effect is down in Disney, Rapunzel was the funniest princess.
Yeah, yeah. She, oh,
when
yeah,
when we went, princess. When we went, you know, we still went and saw all the characters. We went to see the princesses. And it was her and Snow White. But Rapunzel was hysterical. She was great because they all stay in character. But we were waiting and she was talking with a little girl. And the little girl's like, I saw your movie. And she's like, I was in a movie? Was I any good? You know, it was just, she was so funny with this kid. And even when it was our turn to go up, and Patrick was so little, she was just so darn funny with him. She was great. You know, Snow White, I think, keeps it a little quieter, a little classier.
I think I was with you.
Huh?
I think I was with you.
Were you on that?
Yeah, because it was during the Halloween thing.
It was one of those years. Mm. What's her name from Brave is also very, very funny.
Well, I was with you definitely for that.
Yes.
Yeah, I was in my Thor outfit, and I don't know what the hell you were. It was for the Halloween party. You were a tourist. Yeah, whatever.
But some of the characters good, but Tangled, I think sometimes gets lost in the mix, but I think that's one of the better ones.
Well, I'm saying after watching Tangled, it bothers me to see what crap Disney is pumping out recently. You've got nothing like that. I would say Frozen comes close, the first one. But after that, we can mix Pixar and Disney animation together. It's just not the same. It doesn't have the same magic that it used to have back when it was really good. You know, you had Tangled. I'm trying to think what else that I really liked that was Disney animation. But yeah, like I said, Frozen was good too. But yeah, I just feel like something's missing. And if you watch those movies, they were so well made. And also the music was great in that. And Alan Menken had done that. And he was the one that, you know, co-wrote The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, you know, all those movies. And you can hear like his music in there. You know, you can tell it was him. And I think we're missing that too. He's got to come back and start doing some music.
Well, I think it's also, we've seen a lot of sequels out of them.
Yeah.
And when you're seeing something like Frozen, you've never seen it before. It's all fresh. However, when you go to see Frozen 2, they're still trying to hit all the same notes from the first movie, but it hardly ever measures up.
No.
Maybe it's because we've already seen these characters and we liked them the first time around, but they're not really doing too much interesting with them the second time.
They're cash grabs.
I think that might be a lot to do with it.
Yeah, it's sad because it's like, again, you see all the sequels that Disney had pumped out in Pixar. Pixar is even worse now, you know,
yeah. With
Monsters University. Well, I mean, Pixar
seems to be going back to trying to do something original and give us a break from the sequels. But while I've liked the recent Pixars, none of them have blown me away.
No, me too.
You know, I did like Enchanted. Well, what was the one with the two brothers trying to recreate their dad through magic?
Oh, I forget. That's Chris Pratt and Tom Allen.
Well, you see, there's the problem that you forgot even the name of the movie.
Yeah, that movie stunk.
You watch these much more than I do.
No, I reviewed it for the site. I didn't like it at all. Again, it wasn't a fun story. And it wasn't well animated either.
I thought it was good, but like I said, I really don't have a desire to. It doesn't have a rewatchability, like Soul. Soul was a beautiful little movie, but I've seen it once. I don't need to ever sit through it again.
No, I tried to sit through it. This would have been the third time, and I just was so bored with the afterlife part. It just. They could do so much better. Anyway, let's move on.
All right.
This crap. All right. Let's get into
sci-fi versus Disney fantasy.
All right. Let's get into the news. So the Eternals trailer dropped this week. And?
I still have a tough time getting excited about this movie. The music in the trailer, what was the song they were playing?
I don't know, something about the end of the world or something.
Yeah, but it was still kind of, it was kind of a slow, dreary song. It's like, okay, I get it that, you know, moving through time, you know, and all this stuff, you're immortal. And it was okay. I do like Gemma Chen.
Yeah, I don't know who she is.
Well, she was, you pointed out, you saw that she was Minerva from Captain Marvel.
No, that was Taylor.
Oh, okay. But, you know, I remember her from the show Humans on BBC, where it was about androids becoming sentient. And she was very good in that. I liked Minerva. I wish we saw more of her in Captain Marvel, because she's a great villain as well, and I hope she comes back. But her being involved in this with maybe a meteor part, that's good. I mean, we got to see a quick glimpse of Angelina Jolie. I don't know enough about the Eternals. I have tried to research them. The books just bore the heck out of me, and I just can't get into them. So maybe I'll be surprised when this comes out. You know, Marvel can take secondary, tertiary characters and make something interesting out of them. Here's hoping, but like this movie I'm not excited about.
Yeah, so I don't, like you, I don't know, you probably know way more than I do about the Eternals in the comics. I just know Jack Kirby.
When they started showing up in the Avengers, like Cersei was an Avenger for a while, and she was kind of fun, but she was like sort of like a party girl kind of character. Fun, flighty, you know, like the Wasp was in her earlier days. So that's it. Icarus, I know he's supposed to be the strong guy, the Superman type, the leader, but he doesn't seem like he's the leader in this. Somebody else is. That's about it. The rest of them, I don't really know much about at all.
Well, again, I think like Marvel, like Jack Kirby was on a roll, like he did Captain America FF, right? So they're like, what do you got next, Jack? Whatever you want, we're sure it's going to be gold. And this was a swing and a miss, but they did a ride or die with it. So they basically continued it. But yeah, I've never heard anybody say, oh, I love the Eternals comic book. It's awesome. So it is kind of a weird pick, but I think again, Marvel's a little arrogant. I think after Guardians, they think they can do anything. I mean, even like that they're releasing Shang-Chi, I'm kind of surprised that they're doing that too, because again, he's not a very popular character.
Well, now he's got his own series again. He's been another super group, and you know, they're kind of building him up for modern.
That's fine, people know Spider-Man, they know Captain America, they know Iron Man and stuff like that. They don't know Eternals, they don't know Shang-Chi, you know. But again, they think that since it's got Marvel stamped on it, people are going to flock to the theaters. But maybe they will, you know.
I think people will go to the theaters to see it. The test is, will they see it more than once?
Well, I want to say what I thought about the trailer, you know.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I'm one of the rare ones that actually like this trailer, because like I went online and people just seemed to hate it. But what I liked about it, it's different. You know, it's something that we haven't seen before. And I thought it was a cool trailer. I like the spaceship that they came on. It's very mysterious. There's not much going on except, you know, some civilization is working on something, and they kind of explain that they help guide, you know, people throughout history and stuff like that. I think the costumes are pretty cool, like for the characters. But again, when I went online, people are like, oh, they're all ugly, the costumes, and I couldn't be less interested in it, you know? And I'm like, this has got me, I'd rather see this than Black Widow, Shang-Chi, because of the trailers that we've seen with that. This has me a little interested, and I didn't think that was going to happen. So to me, the trailer was somewhat effective. But what people seem to be complaining about is that, you know, the big question is, well, where the hell were you? You know, why are you hiding in the shadows all this time? But meanwhile, you're saying that you guided civilization throughout history. You know, where were you during Endgame or Infinity War? Where were you during Hitler and World War II? You know, all these events, it's like, so you just kind of sat back. And to me, like, when I did see that, I was like, so they're basically like Martian Manhunter, you know? It's like, well, we'll show up now, you know, after all of the worst things have happened.
Yeah, but I think the big difference is that DC didn't have the Martian Man. Well, actually, yeah, Man of Steel, when the whole planet was going to be re-terraformed, you would have thought he would have stepped up and tried to help stop it. The same way people are saying, what, you know, Thanos getting the Infinity Gauntlet, you know, and killing half of all life in the universe. That's kind of a big thing just to sit out on. That's a big fight that, you know, you think they would have jumped in and helped on.
But I kind of wonder if this is going on parallel to what went on in Infinity War.
Or prior?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, so maybe that's the excuse, but... Oh, yeah, they mentioned about Captain America.
Yeah, no, the Captain America and Iron Man are gone. Unless that's a scene later on at the end of the movie.
Exactly, that's what I thought. That could be the last scene in the movie. So I don't know. I mean, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe something major was going on and they couldn't get involved with it for some reason. But again, I'm looking forward to seeing them. Now, again, I couldn't even point out one of those Eternals in the comics and stuff like that. And I never read them. But if I did, I'd probably be upset because I'm sure they don't look exactly like how they look in the comics. They're definitely a more diverse group of people portraying them.
Well, the costumes in the comics, you know, from what I've read, they've done a couple of series later on. But with all sort of times when they popped up, their costumes were still very Kirby-ish.
Yeah.
You know, so for example, you had, you know, two different colors primarily on the costume. Like you'd have Icarus is in red and blue with some black shading and details, maybe a little yellow on there. Circe was in a costume with a lot green with a lot of black stripes or black with green stripes. It's tough to tell. You know, so they had a very Kirby look for a very long time. And this is where, like I said, I just can't get into them. They've had a couple of limited series. So I figured, okay, well, you know what? The Kirby stuff might be just a little too dated. I'll try the stuff from the 80s. Couldn't get into it. I tried the stuff from the 2000s. I'm like, I just can't get into the team. And who knows? Maybe the movie will change my mind and I'll be like,
yeah, maybe
looking this stuff up, going crazy. Like, I got to find out about this guy or this one. But right now I'm just not feeling it.
Yeah. I'm very concerned with Marvel, with Black Widow coming out.
I am looking forward to Black Widow,
Shang-Chi, and with Eternals all coming out this year. Right. I think.
Thank God we have Spider-Man.
Well, I think Spider-Man's coming out next year. Or no, maybe it's coming out December, right?
I think it's coming out in 2021.
Yeah, I might be getting these confused, but I mean, I would say out of all of them, I'm looking forward to Spider-Man because it seems like they're being very secretive about it, but it seems like we've been getting clues that it's going to be the Spider-Verse. So that could be cool, which leeway into our next story. So they cast Kraven the Hunter. Aaron Taylor Johnson, who played Quicksilver and he was also Kick-Ass, is going to play Kraven in a standalone Spider-Man movie that's supposed to come out January 13th, 2023.
I can see it. He's got that, not so much with Kick-Ass, but when he was Quicksilver, he had that kind of crazy little look to him. I think he'll make a good Kraven.
He's got to hit the gym. He just seems, I haven't seen him in a while.
I'm sure he's going to be huge by the time.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's like Kraven's not only built, he's big, you know? Mm-hmm. And
well, he wrestles gorillas for fun.
So, yeah, I just don't know if he can do it. We'll see. I'm sure, like you said, they'll put him through a workout regimen like they do most of their stars. Mm-hmm. But, I'm not too happy with the choice. I know that they were pursuing Keanu Reeves, I think. But again, I don't know how he would do either. I mean, I know he's got the star power and everything, but he'd be another one. He's got to be big, you know, big chest, huge chest. I mean, I don't think he's going to be wearing like the lion vest and all that stuff that he wore, like in, you know.
I hope they have the costume.
I would like that too, because that's how I remember him.
Yeah, I hope they can keep enough elements of it like that. Maybe not the cheetah or leopard skin yoga pants, but I do hope they have that lion vest, because that's a very cool look.
Yeah, it's very iconic. But my problem, again, with this casting is basically the movie itself. I don't think we need all these villain movies. It's like, you know, Sony, they got Spider-Man, and it is like a really nice jewel that they have.
Right.
They know how popular Spider-Man is. Why don't you make a Spider-Man movie every year then and just put a new villain in each movie? Don't make a villain movie every year. You know, put a Spider-Man movie in, because I would rather see Kraven meet Spider-Man in a Spider-Man movie. You know, if he's going to be introduced, he's got to be introduced in a Spider-Man movie. The same thing with Venom should have been in a Spider-Man movie. Who else are they looking at? Oh, I know.
Well, we have Morbius coming out.
Trying to think who else.
I think there was going to be a movie, Silver Sable and the Black Cat, yeah. But I think they've nixed that.
I heard that they might be splitting them up and doing individual movies. Oh boy. But
the, as always, they just have to come up with a good story. And that's the problem they have, because they could go looking through all the comics and piece something good together, and then they're like, get rid of it. You know, we know more what comic fans like than the guys who wrote them. And they flounder. So here's hoping. They just got to get a good story for each villain to stand on his own. Otherwise, it's, you know, what's the point?
Yeah. I think they're making a mistake, but I think everybody's making a mistake right now. DC, Marvel, Star Wars, Sony.
It's weird, though, that you say that. You're right. It seems like a lot of ideas, they're just getting stuck with, and they don't know when to drop them. You know, like we were just talking over at dinner about Star Wars and the High Republic.
Oh boy.
And how that has floundered, even though they're like, oh, the Luke Skywalker appearing on the Mandarin kind of stole its thunder. At the end of the day, the stuff is just not very good. And once again, you know, you made these characters up. You might have thought this was a cool story, but honestly, it's not. I mean, one big thing they have is, you know, a Jedi Master with post-traumatic disorder.
Stress, yeah.
Stress disorder. This is not a character you really want to root for, you know, as the protagonist in a story. You know, if the protagonist comes up against him and is trying to help him, and he's along and, you know, causing some stuff around, that's one thing, but that's not really a guy to focus on that much. And it's just, I mean, same thing. I've picked up a couple of issues of it, and honestly, I couldn't care less about any of these Jedi and their super space fortress that they live in. It's like, no.
You know, it was interesting. Before we came on, I was on YouTube, and they happened to have the Old Republic video from, you know, years ago, but it was in 4K. So I figured, I was like, I'll watch it again. That stuff looks so damn good. Why couldn't they do something like that? You know?
Yeah, exactly. The Old Republic, like Dark Horse turned out a lot of good stuff with the Old Republic. I mean, they had some great characters and a good storyline, and it felt very Star Wars, even though it took place 1,000 years before the Star Wars that we knew. You know, for example, they still had lightsabers, but, you know, the lightsabers were hooked up to a cable that they had a battery on their belt. You know, so the technology wasn't quite there to what we'd seen before, but it still felt like Star Wars. That is missing in the High Republic. It just isn't good. And in the same way, here you go. We have Marvel coming up, and Marvel has invested so much in the characters that we've seen up till Endgame that they've invested so much in those actors portraying them that it's going to be a while before we forget Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, because that actor has been built up and integrated into that role so much. Same way, Chris Evans. We'd have a hard time accepting anybody as Captain America but him at the moment. We need years to catch up till that kind of fades and it's like, okay, we got a new guy coming up here. So they have to go and they have to get this next crop of superheroes up and moving before they can relaunch the guys that we know. Thing is, they've pulled out a lot of the B-listers, let's say. So they're looking at C-listers now. Your A-listers, of course, are, you know, your, at the time when Marvel's starting out, Spider-Man, the Hulk, the FF, but that was its own mess. And then you had Iron Man, who was really a B-lister hero. And they built him up. Iron Man was great. Robert Downey Jr. did a fantastic job. Okay, let's go. Captain America was an A-lister, you know, so they got him. Thor, I love him, but I don't know if he was an A-lister or a B-lister at the time.
No, I would say Cap was a kind of a B-lister too.
Yeah, so I mean, no,
they all were.
Captain America, I think, was still an A-lister.
No, but I'm saying like Paramount and Disney, they did whatever they, you know, what they had to work with. They were very lucky, I guess, that they had Kevin Feige and the writers of Marvel. Like they knew how to work the characters the right way.
Right.
You know, where other studios failed, like what they did with the X-Men. That's why Disney now has the X-Men back, you know, because they couldn't do anything with them. Same thing with Spider-Man. Sony needed the help from Marvel to get the series really going. That the Hulk movies didn't do that well.
Yeah, but
Punisher.
I mean, it's sort of like, you know, after you go through that next category of heroes, you're now into the category of you know, Wonder Man, Namor, you know, people that are there, and yes, they're established to comic book fans, but they're not really that big in the eyes of the general viewing public.
But that's why it's okay to do sequels, you know, to Iron Man and to Captain America and to Thor and stuff like that. They didn't necessarily have to kill them all. I still say what happened. I mean, Iron Man had a noble death. I like that he sacrificed himself and all that. That's understandable. Cap, I will say this till the day I die.
No, you didn't like
that. He's a selfish SOB for doing what he did. You know, basically turning his back on his country and the world just to be with some girl that he met for a few hours back in the past. I still can't get over that. And again, Charlie always brought it up while we were discussing the Falcon and Winter Soldier. Where was Steve Rogers during all this? You know, he was hanging out, I guess, with the Eternals and
maybe
and Martian Manhunter.
Well, like I said, I think now we're going to the next crop of heroes, and you still have some that carry on, but same thing. Doctor Strange is not exactly an A-lister.
No, if you remember too, we all reviewed that movie back in the day. None of us really liked it, you know.
Well, I liked Doctor Strange.
But I specifically recall we weren't too thrilled with it. I mean, we liked Benedict Cumberbatch and all that, but it didn't have the same feeling that we got from like an Iron Man movie or a Captain America movie or a Thor movie. You know, now he's good when he's with the Avengers, when he was with Thor and was it Ragnarok? Yeah, he was in Thor Ragnarok. He's a good side character. You know, I don't know if he's a good lead character. And again, we'll see what happens with the Dark Strange movie. We'll but see. I have a feeling that's going to be a mess too.
I don't know. Sam Raimi dealing with Doctor Strange could be a wild ride.
We'll see. Got a feeling. We'll see.
Okay.
So you heard about Amazon buying MGM for $8.5
I heard about that.
$1 billion.
That was something.
It's kind of weird. So like the big movies in MGM's library, so it's The Wizard of Oz, Gone with the Wind, Singing in the Rain. They don't own those. Warner Brothers owns them. You know, they bought the rights to them. It's kind of like what happened when Marvel was kind of selling the rights to a lot of movies. That's what MGM was doing, because MGM was going through bankruptcy and all that. So people started cherry picking like whatever they could, you know, the best properties that they can get. So what they do have though that Amazon bought was the James Bond library, which is pretty cool to have. You know, there's 25 official James Bond movies, and then there's two movies that there's Casino Royale, the one with Peter Sellers and David Niven. I don't know if you've ever seen that one.
Mm-hmm.
That was like an Austin Powers movie before Austin Powers.
Yeah, that was not your serious James Bond.
No.
That was kind of playing it for laughs.
And Never Say Never Again, which brought back Sean Connery as James Bond, which I actually like that movie. I think that's a good movie, but it's not an official one.
Right.
They got the Rocky library, which is pretty good. But then, you know, the other ones that they had, that Pink Panther.
Rocky was MGM?
Yeah, Rocky was originally United Artists. And then I think MGM might have purchased United Artists at one point. And I specifically remember Rocky IV has got the lion roar on it, you know? Yeah, I think MGM owned all the Rocky movies at one point, but yeah, the catalog doesn't seem that big. And I guess they do TV shows. Like I think, Handmaid's Tale is an MGM production and stuff like that.
No, but that's not the Handmaid's Tale. I thought that was an Amazon original.
Well, Hulu, it's a Hulu original, but I think that MGM produced it or something like that, you know? But we'll see. I think that they overpaid for it. That's a little crazy. That much money. You're not even getting The Wizard of Oz and Gone with the Wind.
Well, Gone with the Wind is one of those properties that is now, you know, constantly under fire.
Or whatever, it's people still love it.
Which, you know, if that's how things were historically, I can't see, I don't know, it's the whole thing, rewriting history to be politically correct.
But again,
you know, that's a dangerous path to tread. But Gone with the Wind is a beautiful, big movie.
No, it's one of the greatest movies ever made.
Yeah, and the hate it gets now is just...
It's usually from people that haven't watched it, you know?
Could be.
And, oh, yeah, no, I know that that's partly. I'm not going to mention any names, but, you know. But this leads into our next story, which I thought was kind of interesting.
So, wow, we're doing really well with the segues. We haven't rehearsed this at all.
No. Disney apparently almost bought Warner Brothers in 2016. And that would have had all the DC characters in their library. Bob Iger, before the Time Warner and AT&T deal, he had contacted Jeff Bukes, the chief of Time Warner, and they were talking about, you know, a possible merge together. Iger called another media chief in hopes of forging a deal. It was Rupert Murdoch. But yeah, no, I mean, it almost happened, but of course AT&T came in and I guess they couldn't match what AT&T was offering. But could you imagine that? Like if DC and Marvel were under the same roof?
You know what? If that was the case, I don't think we would see them under the one roof. Because if Disney had gotten a hold of the DC characters, they would have run with it. And they would have been, what do we need the Marvel ones for? But the Marvel ones would have been left for somebody else.
No, well, this was 2016. So they already had their Marvel movies out there. Avengers was already out and stuff like that.
You're right.
I would say, though, I'd be against it. I mean, I love a lot of DC characters, especially Superman and Batman, but it would create a monopoly on so many things, on comic books, on movies. And I think that creativity would be lost. I mean, competition always stirs creativity and to do better. And I think, you know, I think of the Madden football game. EA bought the license to the NFL, which included the stadiums, the teams, the players. And no one else could use that. And, you know, prior to that, like 2K was making a football game, which was a great football game, which I preferred. But again, Madden didn't want any competition. So they just bought the license up and they've basically made the same game, you know, for at least 10 years. I don't know how long ago it was when they purchased them. It's probably even longer than that. But again, they just don't do anything. I mean, there's slight changes to the graphics. It's running on the same engine and it's a roster change basically. Then they, you know.
Yeah, you have some players coming in and.
Yeah, you put $60 on it and every year it's like people are either forced to buy it or they just don't play football or something like that. And that's what would happen with, I think, DC and Marvel. I just think that it would be a bad thing, you know?
You know what, they're. And we've talked before about this as well. Both companies' approaches to superheroes work well within their confines. I don't think dropping Batman into the Marvel way of doing comics would work very well. The same way I don't think dropping Spider-Man into...
Well, no.
Methodology. I don't think they would work. And I think you're right. I think it would. We'd get a watered down version of each comic universe.
No, that's not what I meant. I mean, I know what you were saying. Like you thought I meant that they would all be in the same group, like Superman might join the Avengers and stuff like that. No, I mean, my point would be DC would be its own thing. Marvel would be its own thing, but there'd be a lot of crossovers in the comics and probably in the movies too. You would see the Avengers versus Justice League.
And eventually, you know, somebody's going to be like, hey, we got to merge this together. Inevitable. It would happen if they had the carte blanche where they were owned by the same company. Eventually we'd see a lot of crossovers, and then we'd see the mega crossover where it all comes together. And like I said, some of these characters, they work best where they are.
I'm telling you right now, and I predicted this a long time ago, at one point we're going to see a crossover with Star Wars and Marvel in the movies. It's when they get desperate, when they're having problems, maybe with Star Wars, and they want more people to focus a little bit more on Star Wars. They might introduce them into the Marvel Universe. You know, they got the Time Stone, the Reality Stone, whatever the hell stones they have and all that. There's always ways to bring them together. And I have a feeling that that's what's going to do it, especially if they want a blockbuster event. I mean, that would be crazy to have something like Darth Vader versus Dr. Doom or whatever the hell, you know?
Yeah, pretty cool. I mean, but it's like you were saying, wait till they get desperate enough for money.
Yeah.
That they have to get desperate with their ideas.
So Captain America 4, the hashtag show is saying that the Red Skull's biological daughter, and I think this is hysterical, I didn't even know she existed.
Oh, yeah.
Cynthia, spelled S-I-N-T-H-E-A.
Yeah. No, she's an actual character in the comics. And she's like, Crossbones is like the Red Skull's muscle guy. And his daughter, Sin, is like the crazy daughter who hangs around with Crossbones and just does terrible, horrible things to everybody. So she is a full-fledged character. She's not new to the game.
No, I know she's not new, but I just think that, I mean, I like the name Cynthia with an S. I think that's pretty funny. But I think it's kind of weird that the Red Skull has any kids.
Yeah.
Who's the mother?
In the story, I think he was looking for a son, and he was disappointed he had a daughter. So he made her life just miserable until he turned her into a psychotic killer. And then, hey, I have a daughter who's a psychotic killer. That's not too bad. I like her that way. You know, so that's kind of the background a little bit, but he was looking for an heir to carry on his work.
So anyway, that's what they're reporting is possibly the villain for the
Captain However, America she does before. Not have a red skull or anything like that. She's, you know, she's this little redhead with freckles and green eyes and
sounds terrifying.
Girl, but she's, you know, crazier than Harley Quinn.
She sounds terrifying. Can't wait for it.
Where she gets terrifying is how casualty she uses cruelty. You know, it's like, you know, she's just one of those characters like, yeah, I know, it's all a terrible big deal, you know, but in a day's work, I just have to kill all 50,000 people in this building. So, sorry, you know, like just talking about things like, you know, not a big deal or, you know, hey, it'd be real fun if we, you know, threw this person off a building. You know, it's that kind of character where, but going back to Harley Quinn, where Harley Quinn is usually playful in the violence that she does. Sin is scarily casual about it, which does make her a little scary.
Well, again, this is part of phase four, another movie I'm not looking forward to. And from the sounds of it, again, Sam Wilson's Captain America, you get the Red Skull's daughter. Next. Speaking of next.
The big thing with her was her association with Crossbones, and Crossbones blew up, didn't he?
Yeah, in the Civil War.
In Civil War, but he blew up. He's gone now. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But, you know, as I said before, I wish Bucky had gotten the shield and we got to see a more espionage-based Captain America storyline like Ed Brubaker was telling.
Yeah. All right. Indy 5. So there's been news in Indy 5, apparently. And Mads Mikkelsen has been cast. I think we covered that a while ago. But apparently his character is a Nazi scientist enlisted into NASA by the U.S. government to work on the space agency's moon landing initiative. So this is going to be Indiana Jones in space.
I know you like Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones and can't imagine anybody else, but I think it's time to recast.
Well, they should have done just three movies. They should have never done the Crystal Skull. They should have just left him as a legend. Now they're going to wreck him. I can't imagine this movie being any good. And again, this might not be true, but it's coming from, again, the site that it's coming from, I never heard of them. They're called the Illuminati. So they're saying that their source is, has to do with the Apollo 11 moon landing in 1969, which I don't know. I just can't.
You know, there's got to be the scene where he comes running out and he's on the moon, you know, and it turns out to be like a studio set. You know, that's got to happen.
Maybe he uses a refrigerator to get to the moon. I don't know. I kind of call bull on this. I mean, are they that dumb to write a story like that? Is he going to go up and he can't? Because again, back then,
you know, I mean, it's all, you know, he's involved because, you know, to make sure the launch goes off as planned or something. But I don't know how Indiana Jones would fit into that story because, you know, let's face it, they're all about MacGuffins, getting the MacGuffin, making sure it's safe or gets to a certain place or return to someplace. How is Indiana Jones going to do that for the moon landing? Because it's also nothing from the moon landing is the old ancient artifact sort of thing. It's all brand new technology when they've moved from the 50s into the 60s. So I don't know. But
I wonder if it's going to be like them about faking the moon landing, you know? It just sounds stupid. I think that they probably, he's too old right now. They haven't even started filming.
Right.
He looks old as it is right now. And
I mean, we saw it in Star Wars that he's great, but he's slowed down. And I can't imagine Harrison Ford now hanging off the front of a truck, you know, as it's racing through the desert and
then. Oh, no, he's not going to do that.
Dragged and stuff. I just can't see him in those types of.
He could still use the whip.
Yeah, but
you know, he's definitely a long distance guy. Like, use a whip, use a gun, you know.
Maybe, but Indiana Jones is fun when he's, you know, fist fighting and.
I mean, that's true. Yeah,
jumping around and swinging on things. It's a Harrison Ford's a little long in the tooth for that right now. We all get old.
Yeah, it's you wonder what's going on in his head. I mean, I know that he really wants to redeem that last movie, but I think in a way he should just give it up. I wouldn't want to see Indiana Jones rebooted. Just leave it the way it is. He's a classic character. It's like, you know, again, when we talked about Gone with the Wind, like redoing Gone with the Wind, having a new Rhett Butler, which they did do, I think, in the 80s. They did a sequel to Gone with the Wind called Scarlet.
That's right. Well, and, I remember they released a book. I don't remember them actually filming it, though.
No, it was. It was made for TV. Timothy Dalton was Red Butler.
I think Timothy Dalton could probably
play. No, well, there should only be one Red Butler. That was my point, you know. And there should only be one Indiana Jones.
He has spoken.
So let it be written. So let it be done. I don't know if I should bring up this story. I'm going to bring it up anyway, just to see what you say. Well, you don't have to say anything, Jack. So I don't know if you heard recently Mark Ruffalo was in the news that he had to issue an apology because he tweeted about Israel being guilty of genocide.
About what?
Israel being guilty of genocide. He's very political, you know, the guy. And so he apologized. It was like kind of a half-ass apology. But my point is, isn't this a double standard that Disney didn't fire him, but they fired Gina Carino? I mean, I think what he said was worse. And he said worse before, too.
Yeah, that's... I'm surprised he's not in a lot of trouble for that.
Well, it just, you know, it's unfortunate, but Disney kind of looks the other way sometimes based on your political views. That's what it seems like. And I think they should hire Gina Carino back immediately after this, that they'll let this slide. But, you know, the things that she said, you know, I know she was anti-mask. So what? There was a lot of people that were. She said that bebop boop thing, which again, wouldn't consider that an anti-trans. I was just saying she didn't want to be labeled.
Yeah. I didn't quite get what that was about. I think she was trying to make a joke because of the way people are making up pronouns and stuff.
That's what she was trying to do.
That part I think was overblown, but.
But maybe some people,
I don't recognize why that's such a traumatic thing.
Depending on your political views and anything that you say, someone might get triggered, you know, by a person. And then what she said about, I think she was comparing the Republicans to what, you know, the Jewish community went through during World War II and the Holocaust.
Now, you see, that's where she probably got in much more trouble.
But you know what? I mean, it was dumb for her to say, but it's not like she was being derogatory towards, you know, the Jewish people. She was trying to compare herself to the Jewish people, almost like, you know what I'm saying? She wasn't saying, I know the Holocaust. You should never
cannot compare one situation to the other.
I agree, but my point is
Republicans were never treated.
No, I agree
like that.
But still, I'm just saying it's not like she went out against the Jews, which apparently Mark Ruffalo did with Israel. You know,
that's a pretty damning statement to make that. You really don't have much of a leg to back up from saying something like that. And he could apologize, but people just not liking him ever again.
And again, like they had an issue with Gal Gadot recently, you know, what she said. So, you know, why should people?
Well, what she said was a lot.
That's what he should have said.
Yeah. You know? He really, Gal Gadot did her typical, I think, classy sort of comment. Mark Ruffalo went way over that line. He went so far over the line. That line is now a dot, you know, to quote.
What people should wish for is for peace is that, you know, everything works out for everybody. Like, again, none of us are there. I think that there's a lot of innocent people in both Israel and Palestine, you know. but they have to deal with different governments and stuff like that. Again, I don't know who's right and wrong, but I know that there are innocent people on both sides, and that's
a lot
who you should
of people
be
getting hurt.
Yeah, that's who you should be praying for and hoping, you know. But when you say, you know, you point at a group of people and, you know, label them as committing genocide, I think that's wrong. You know, if you want to take a side, that's fine. I mean, I'm not really trying to take a side during this whole thing. Thank God they had a ceasefire and all that. But you got to watch what you say on Twitter. And I think, and he has done this before. I know he has done this many times because he's tweeted several things that I've read that I'm like, why is this guy even working anymore? You know, but apparently he gets a free pass. Anyway, that's what I was just trying to say. There was a double standard. I think that they jumped the gun a little too much with Gina Carino, you know, because there were a lot of people that liked her.
A lot of people liked her, but she does not have the box office appeal of a Mark Ruffalo.
That's true, but
that
still
kind of gets him. I'm not saying it's right, but that probably gets him a lot more leeway than her.
But if anything, that shows like Disney's being hypocritical.
Yeah, I mean, and really, I'm surprised there wasn't more made out of him saying that.
Yeah, I mean, nothing. Disney didn't say anything about what he said regarding that. But I guess he's tied up with so many different, he's not only working for Disney, he's working for Warner Brothers, Amazon, you know, all these different companies. It's not like he's got a specific contract with.
Yeah, but Disney. None of those other contracts are going to make him that Hulk money.
That's true. All right, so let's get into The Bad Batch. So I found out.
You just like this episode a little more than the other last one?
Well, no, I just want to say I found out. So there's 16 episodes in total for this season. That's not bad. All right, I'll go first. So surprisingly, again, I think this was another filler episode. There's going to be a lot of them, I think. Since there's 16 episodes, we're going to see a lot of them. I'm not a fan of that character, Fenrir Shan, that they, you know, she was in The Mandalorian.
It took me a while to make that connection.
They're pushing her big time, you know. I think that when she died in the first season of The Mandalorian, she should have stayed dead. I don't know. She's okay, but I think that, again, that they're pushing a little too much. But as far as the show goes, as I'm watching this, I keep saying to myself, this is more Star Wars than anything I've seen in a long time other than The Mandalorian. You know, it feels more Star Wars, again, than The Rise of Skywalker, than Clone Wars, than I guess even Rebels, you know? There's just something about this that, you know, again, it wasn't a great episode, but the locations, the things that happen, it screams Star Wars for me. Well, and that's what they need to focus on more, you know, instead of like pushing on Luke's, what's going on with Luke and Leia and all that stuff. They got to move on, focus on new characters, something like this. You know, I think it's a good show. It's not every episode's a home run, but I think it's a good show.
Well, I mean, I got to say though, what hit me on this one, it's where the animation keeps getting better on the non-character parts. Like when it had the opening shot of their shuttle flying through space, that didn't look like a cartoon.
That looked really good. I remember that too.
Looked really sharp. Mm. The detail looked really good. That looked like if they threw that up on the big screen, people wouldn't realize it was from Disney Plus. They would think this was specially animated for motion pictures. It looked that good. And even though they did some other scenes with the scenery and the beauty shots of the ships flying around planets and stuff, if they had muted the colors on those planets a little bit so they weren't so bright and colorful, they would have had the same effect as that opening shot. Just like, you know, they kind of muted the colors a little so red wasn't so red. You know, if they muted it, it would not have looked as animated and it would have looked better. But I was so surprised at some of those scenery shots, the ships, the city, I thought looked great. So, I mean, really, they're stepping up their game on this animation with it. The characters themselves, you know, I still wish they weren't so squared off, but the animation is good. I also like how they have the characters move differently. Did you notice that in this one?
No, not really.
I noticed it a lot different. Hunter moves differently than Wrecker, differently than, what's his name? Echo, different from the tech guy. I forget his name.
Tech.
Tech. Their body movements are actually different. Like, for example, when the little girl runs, she kind of lopes when she runs.
Yeah.
But everybody else runs a different way. The bounty hunter, she moved very quick, you know, movements. Hunter was a little bit more, you know. I like touches like that because it gives the characters a little bit more personality aside from the words they're saying or the costume they're wearing. It just makes them feel more like a fuller person. And it was pretty good. I also, like I said, I still keep thinking, like, while some of these might feel like filler, we're seeing the seed sown for a bigger storyline. In this, it's the Empire's your friend. We'll take your local illegal currency and we'll exchange it for...
Oh, yeah, that was kind of interesting, like, yeah.
You know, we're seeing the Empire is trying to build up support and having the people like them before, I guess, they drop the hammer. You know, so I think these are the little things we're seeing seeded in these episodes that while they might seem like filler, I think they're building up.
Well, one thing about the Empire, though, is that there were people that actually liked the Empire, you know?
Well, they liked that it brought order.
Yeah, I mean, so that's why I thought it was interesting, too, that they were exchanging their currency, you know, for Imperial credits or whatever they call them. And people were excited about that. You know, there were people, again, that lived, I guess, good and happy lives under the Empire. But they were also, they weren't necessarily free. They didn't realize that they weren't free.
Right.
But they just accepted the lives that they had. You know, and I think that's what, there have been like many times again, like when people have questioned, you know, was it really the Empire that was bad? You know, I mean, I don't feel that way. But I think that, again, there are some people that were loyal to the Empire, not that they were evil, but that they felt, again, like you said, that they created order. And
right. Or they, you know, people join the army.
Yeah.
Which is what the Empire was. They people joined the military as well, a career choice. That didn't mean they were out looking to oppress people. They went in because they thought, okay, I'm joining the military. I'm going to go out and do some good out there.
Well, I'm saying just the citizens, you know, like that lived in that square and all that stuff. I mean, they seemed very content with the Empire being in charge and they felt that things were going to be better under the Empire. You know, maybe they felt that they were going to get more supplies, that they were going to get more fuel and whatever the hell. But I was going to say, too, what I thought was interesting is the city kind of reminded me of Galaxy's Edge.
I've been there, so I can't tell you that.
Well, it felt like it. And I think in a way that they're starting to do that now. What was that other one that I had seen recently? Had to be in The Mandalorian or something like that. Oh no, I was watching Rogue One. I felt that that one section in Rogue One felt like Galaxy's Edge, but this did too, to me. Like, you know, there was the whole market, you know, where you can buy fruit, and what did she get, a doll, or she swiped a doll or something like that. That felt very Galaxy Edge like, you know? So I think that they're trying to incorporate that too. They're trying to, what's that called? Synergy, you know?
I guess, or just give a feel like, you know, it, who knows, if a kid goes to Galaxy's Edge now after seeing this, they might remember the scene of her picking up the little clone trooper doll. Like, oh, here's a doll just like such and such found.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's okay. You know,
I'm liking it. And, you know, I'm surprised, consider how much hate you had for these guys.
Yeah.
In the last season of Clone Wars, that you're actually enjoying this as much as you are.
Yeah. I mean, and even Wrecker is not bothering me as much. It's almost like he's not perfect. That's another thing too. I think like when we saw him in Clone Wars, he was basically like this big gorilla, like rampaging through everything, but doing it very loudly. With this one, like he kind of makes mistakes, and you know, he'll goof up, and he's got a soft spot for Omega, you know. And I think that she's a good character too. I think that if she wasn't there, it might be a little boring, you know, from them going to one spot or one planet to the next. But I think that, I don't know, she's a bit of a distraction, you know, because she's always gets into something, you know. It might get tiresome after a while, but right now I think it's okay.
The role she kind of plays, because otherwise we would have had an episode of them going and buying fuel or rations. Not a very exciting episode if that's all they were doing. So yeah, so she went off and wandered off, got into trouble a little bit, and you know, ends up hooking up with the bounty hunter along the line. So
yeah, so all right, that's good.
But they can't stick to that formula. If they keep on that formula, we're going to start to feel it.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap this one up. So all Jack, right. Can you tell everyone where they can find you?
You can find me at jack@wdwnt.com. Send me an email. And any questions, whatever you're looking for, and I'll see if I can help you out.
And if you want, you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com or send me a friend request on Facebook. And if you like our show and enjoy other WDWNT podcasts and would like to become a Patreon supporter, please visit WDWNT's Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT. And Jack is making me laugh because of all the W's I'm saying. I remember last week. And check out Walt Disney World News Today, Disneyland News Today, as well as Universal Parks News Today for all your Disney and Universal news.
Today.
Today. Not today.
Not yesterday. Today.
And please visit the Carousel of Products, where there is a ton of fun WDWNT merchandise on sale. And finally, please subscribe to the WDWNT Entertainment Channel on YouTube, where you can find Nerd Alert and other WDWNT original programming available there. So with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 7, Episode 18. So until next time, see you.
Good night, and be good to each other.